Good afternoon, brethren. John said what Jesus Christ did, if they were all written down, even the whole world cannot contain it. Some of these stories are found in John and no other gospels. But this woman caught in the act came to my attention when Asiya Bibi was released from prison. She had served 9 years plus for blasphemy. I'm sure the people who accused her knew that she was innocent. But that's the way of this world. A woman caught in the act. John 8, starting from verse 2. The lawmakers and the Pharisees earlier on were challenging Jesus Christ, and some were doubting that he was anything but fake. So the next morning they brought this woman caught in the act. 8:2. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought him a woman caught in adultery. He made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses, Moses commanded us to stone such woman. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have basis for accusing him. I'm sure those who held the stones to stone this woman, to condemn her, they knew it was not true. If it was true, where was the man? A woman caught in the act alone? Where is the man? Turn with me to Leviticus 20 and verse 10. Leviticus 20 and verse 10. If a man commits adultery with another man's wife, with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress are to be put to death. And it's repeated in Deuteronomy 22 and verse 22. Deuteronomy 22, 22. 22, 22. If a man is found sleeping with another man's wife, both the man who slept with her and the woman must die. You must purge the evil from Israel. So this is the law. Don't forget there were lawmakers and Pharisees all around Jesus trying to make him look fake. So they brought this woman caught in the eye. A man and a woman commit adultery. Both might be stoned to death. That should be the law. But a woman caught in the act was brought to Jesus alone. There was no partner in the crime. No, where was the man? It takes two to tango. But that's the way of this world. The world's justice you can never trust. And here was a Prince of Peace, the righteous judge, being tested. The people condemning the woman did not produce the evidence that she was truly caught in the act of adultery. That was punishable by them. The man was certainly missing. Jesus, the Savior of the world, knew their hearts and he touched their conscience. After all, remember, Jesus is the righteous judge. He said, "Let anyone who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Now, here we are. dealing with someone righteous, someone holy who knew the minds of all the people around him. That's the first story. If you have no sin, they started living in the sin, one after another, starting from the older ones, until only Jesus was left with the accused person. The righteous judge did not condemn nor condone the woman who stood before him. He said to her, "Go now and live your life of sin." Brethren, where on earth will you get such judgment, such compassion, such love? You were caught in the act. Souls were ready. They were going to put you to death in a horrible way. But the people did not reckon who Jesus truly was, the righteous judge who knew the heart and mind of every human being. So he said, "Let anyone who is without sin be the first to throw the stone at her." No one did. No one did. John 3 and verse 17. John 3 and verse 17. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already. And because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." Jesus, the righteous judge, gave a judgment and saved the life of this wretched woman who was going to be put to death for being caught in the act, so they say. Remember, it was not what that saved the woman caught in the act. It was who? Jesus. He is still the Savior of the world, and the world needs him today and every moment. Both Christians and non-Christians need the Savior of the world. And yet, as we walk the path, we hear the name of Jesus maybe mentioned several times, but it's not got the meaning that he is truly the Savior of the world. It's up to you and me to witness to that, that he is truly the Savior of the world and that we need him. That the world's justice is flawed. Lord, you cannot get such an honest judgment as the woman got. Romans 7 and verse 24 to 25. Romans 7, 24, 25. "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord." Jesus is a righteous judge. He will judge you finally, whether you enter eternal life in glory or you go to the other place. Romans 6 and verse 22. "But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefits you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. If you believe in the Lord, the righteous judge, you are saved." Eternal life. He gives it to you free. The woman was saved from being stoned to death by the righteous judge. When you hear and see the turmoil in countries of this world, the hatred, conflicts, sickness, the lawlessness, the violence, the injustices, you realize the world needs the Savior. now more than ever. So let's always pray to the Father, thy kingdom come. I hope that the Savior will return soon to reign over all of us. John 6:16. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind blew, and the water was rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." Brethren, Jesus said it several times to his disciples, "Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. Believe in me." Now, he is in heaven as our advocate and the Lord. He is holy. He is our Savior. He is our teacher. He is our powerful head. He is truth. He is the righteous judge, to whom every knee in heaven and earth shall bow. So we must esteem his name highly. For he is the righteous judge who will judge you and me in the final day. See how Jesus dealt with the woman alleged caught in the acts of adultery, with love, mercy, compassion, and in truth and understanding. In the end, all her accusers realized they were all seeped in sin and therefore left the scene. No one dared accuse the woman anymore. Just think back, brethren, to the trial of Jesus before Pontius Pilate, the Roman ruler. The Roman ruler found no evidence against Jesus, and yet washed his hands off with water and delivered Jesus to the Jews and the soldiers to crucify the Son of God out of fear and injustice. Pontius Pilate had the power to release Jesus, knowing that he was handed over to him by his accusers out of envy. But what did he do? Fear and injustice took hold of him, and he handed the innocent man to be crucified. That is the way of this world. Justice is out of the window. Only God dispenses justice in fairness, in love, and in its complicity. So if we truly want freedom, if we truly want to be joyful, if we need justice and all the good things, including eternal life, all will happen to us in the kingdom of God, not in this life. In this life, the Lord commands us to take up our cross and follow him. And it's just like that. This life is just like running a marathon. You may come to a steep, hilly place, a stony road, wet and slippery path. You may have to run through lonely and dreadful wilderness like the Hebrews. That's how Moses described the place, a very dreadful place. And that's how life is. Sometimes life becomes dreadful to you. Don't give up. Trust the Lord. He is head of everything that is good. Don't let the difficulties you face, the hilly roads, the wet and slippery paths, the stony places, the dreadful wilderness, or so on and so forth, don't let it discourage you forever. Trust the Lord. He said, do not fear. But oh, in all these, the Lord Jesus Christ promises never to leave or forsake you. So brethren, let us keep our focus on the Savior of the whole world, the righteousness. He knows your heart, He knows your mind, and He's there for you. He has already saved you. Do not let the world overwhelm you or overcome you, but trust Him explicitly always. In His name, let us give glory to our Father in heaven. Amen.